Great. So I have 1 minute after the hour, and we've had a good group of people on the call, so I think we should go ahead and get started, and our recording is on already, so thanks to the Secretariat for that. We have a few more people joining right now, I think. So on our agenda for today, we have we ended up with six agenda items. You can see it in the pod there. So I guess the first order of business is usually ask if there's anyone who is on the call but who is not in Adobe Connect. Can you make yourself known right now? Okay. Doesn't sound like we have anyone who's only on audio. So our agenda, you can see it in the Adobe Connect room, in the pod, minutes approval, reviewing status of action items, timeline discussion, discussion of the responses to the question that we asked to the IETF and the RIRs, our beginning of our step two assessment of those two proposals, including an implementation timeline discussion. And then we will wrap up with a brief status update on the face-to-face meeting planning for Buenos Aires. Are there any other agenda items that people would like to add or any other comments on the agenda before we get started?
Let me just note that we still have Paul Wilson and Arash there that is trying to join on voice. So we have some people, as you said, that are on Adobe Connect, but not on voice yet.
Got it. I see that. Thank you, Patrick. Okay. Well, hopefully they will get connected soon, and obviously people can feel free to use the chat if necessary. So first order of business is the minutes approval for the minutes from our face-to-face meeting. These were circulated on the list late last week and are being projected, at least the first day is being projected. So comments or objections to approving the minutes? I see Daniel. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah. Well, I, for one, haven't had time to read all of it, at least not day two, because it's quite a long document. And if I'm the only one, then I'll defer. But if there's more people who haven't had the opportunity, then I think we should table this until the next call.
We can certainly do that. They are lengthier than the usual call minutes, so I don't see harm in giving people more time, even if it's only you.
Well, there seem to be a couple of people in the chat who are saying that they are in a similar position.
Yep. Okay. Let's defer to the next call, and we will we can take this up at that point. All right. Thank you. So next item is to review the status of the action items from the previous meeting. Well, if we could get those projected, that would help. So these look like the minutes from the second day, but we're actually looking for the set of action items that we collected on the list. Oh, there we go. Got it. Great. Thank you. Okay. So if we look at this list of action items, number one, we were to transmit the question to the IGF and the RERs. Obviously, that is complete. Yari had taken an action item to write up some of what was discussed during the meeting so that we had an archive of it on the mailing list with regard to some aspects of the IGF proposal. Yari, I think I don't know if I got mail on the list or off list from you saying that you were working on this. Is that correct?
That is correct, and my understanding of the task actually was that we had a real question that we sent to the ITF and RIRs, and then we had some information requests or clarifications that can be satisfied without talking to the community, and we provided some information during meeting and in various other discussions. I was supposed to write that up and provide the same information in writing. That is being done. I hope to get it out either during the call or shortly thereafter.
Great. Thank you. We will look for that. The next one, the Secretariat has sent the summary of the questions and answers that we discussed at the face-to-face meeting. That's the Excel spreadsheet. Oh, we lost the document. I know people have seen that. There's been some commentary about it on the list. There it is. Right, thank you. So this is a summary. I thought it was very, very good and comprehensive. I don't know if it warrants further discussion. I'm just glad that we have it and we can refer back to it if we ever need to. So barring any further comments on that, I think we can continue down the list. All right. So number four, Paul, was to write up a clarification of, again, some questions that came up during the face-to-face meeting concerning the numbers proposal. We have mail from Paul indicating that those questions are being discussed within the CRISP team, and I've seen some mail on the CRISP mailing list to that effect. Is there anything you wanted to add, Paul?
No, thanks. Thanks, Alyssa. I hope you can hear me. Yeah, I got those questions to the CRISP team, and they are dealing with them. I did want to confirm with Kavush, though, that that I properly represented his questions. So I'd appreciate it, Kavush, if you're there, if you would confirm that that your questions are, you know, properly asked there, and let me know if not. Thanks.
Do we have you on audio now?
First of all, good morning, Alyssa. Sorry. I'm waiting for being given the floor.
Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Alyssa. How are you? I hope you're personally going well. Everything's in good shape, and you are doing well personally for the things that you are waiting for. This point number one. Point number two, the answer given by numbers was almost convincing, but still in the report there are two things. One thing saying that we don't need anything from the accountability, on the other hand saying that, however, we lack the oversight of the NTIA. These are more or less, in my view, a little bit contradicting, so this should be corrected in the reply from Paul or others when it comes to the final form. Thank you.
Paul here. Yeah, I think that's fairly clear, and that's what I hope the CRISP team will clarify. I just wanted to ask Alyssa. There was a matrix tabular document just displayed on the screen just before we went back to the summary of action items. And can you tell me what document that was? Because I haven't seen it. Or is that that's linked in the chat window?
Right, it is linked in the chat now too. So I think, at the conclusion of the face-to-face meeting, it was suggested that We gather a summary of all the questions and answers that came up during our discussion of the IETF and RAR proposals, just so that we could have kind of a consolidated list of those for our own reference, because there were a lot of good questions and we had a good discussion about the two proposals. So the Secretariat put that together and sent it around about a week ago, I think. So that's the document that is being projected and has been circulated and is in Dropbox and so forth. So
yes,
it's just
right.
For our reference, and you know, it lists who asked the question as well, which kind of triggers your memory back to that discussion. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I think we understand the path forward on the numbers question. The next one was chairs to review details of the proposal finalization process and timeline. So we did this during ICANN week. This was the new timeline that was circulated and that we will be discussing shortly. So that one is done. Number six, we had group being led by Manal to continue working on community comments handling. And that has, as far as I know, has proceeded on the mailing list. We've had some discussion and further articulation of that, and that's still in progress. That's my understanding of that. I see Caboose.
Yes, on the last one, number six that you have mentioned, Manal sent me a text which was formed in a sort of a very unclear way and in the passive voice, saying that if the community selects or choose to reply, such and such thing will be done. I changed that and put it in another form, saying that if ICG decides to raise a question to the community, that question should be answered and answerable. We would give the matter and the authority to the ICG to decide whether address any question, receive or comment to the community, or take it differently, but not give it an option to the community to select whether this reply or not. We should take the proper action according to what we have discussed in face-to-face meeting, and I'm hoping that Manal has finalized that. Thank you.
Caboose, sorry, I should have raised my hand. This is Joe Aladeff. Alyssa, am I the next in the queue, or was there someone else?
There isn't anyone in the queue. The only thing I would say is that I would prefer that we not have the actual substantive discussion of this topic right here. I was sort of hoping we could continue it on the list and maybe take it up on the next call. It's not actually on the agenda for today because we have a few other things that probably need to get done before that. So if you have a kind of process point, that's fine. I appreciate the comments from Caboose, but we should certainly continue the substantive discussion on the list and on the next call, but not today.
And that's okay. We can do that. Otherwise, it was just a clarification because I think two pieces of the letter are getting confused.
Okay. Yeah. If we can do that on the list, that would be great. Thank you. And we will mark that down to have it as a discussion topic on the next call. For sure. So, moving on to number seven, Patrick was to coordinate with the CWG and the CCWG about our teleconference schedule, which definitely happened, and that's one of the reasons why we're having this call now, which does not conflict with either the other two groups, and that's where the dates and times for the rest of the calls and the doodle poll came from. So my only request is if you have not yet filled out the doodle poll, that you please do so, and maybe we can get someone to post that again in the chat for people who may have missed it. We have, I think, 20 responses or something, but it'd be good to get a few more so we can schedule the next couple of calls. So that's number seven. Feel free to jump in the queue if you want to interrupt, but I think we're almost done with these. So number eight. Number eight, we will be talking about at the end of our call today, so that's on the agenda for today. Patrick will talk about that.
Телеконференции сегодня говорит Алиса Купер.
Sorry, we have one of the interpreters on the English line, it sounds like. So number 8 we'll deal with at the end of the call, and number 9 we were to discuss talking points. This was really for the ICANN meeting, and that happened during the week in Singapore, so that one has been disposed of. Caboose.
Yes, Alice, I have a request if possibly could be met by Patrick in future. The teleconference should be at least coordinated with the CCWD and CWD. I had a teleconference a few hours before, and I have this teleconference now. It's a little bit boring in one frame of time, 8 hours. You have two teleconferences of 2 hours each for, so it would be tiring and disturbing if it is possible not to have it as such, that in a particular time frame of 8 hours or 10 hours, we have two teleconferences each 2 hours. It is not, we cannot support that. At least I cannot support that.
Patrick, would you like to speak to that?
Sure. The what we try to arrange this time is to at least not have any collisions, that there is interest to have more separation between the call that is noted, and we'll see what we can do. The important thing for people still is to fill out the doodle code, the doodle suggestions, and we will see what we can do regarding the calls. As some people note in the chat room, there are many other calls than just these three groups that all of us are stuck into, so it's hard to accommodate everyone. Let me just note that with the Secretariat's help, we will, by the new Secretariat, we will get a calendar where we can note not only our things, but also other events, so it will be easier to do this scheduling, because, of course, the scheduling across all these various groups is extremely hard to do in an optimal way. So my apologies, and I appreciate all feedback that I can get, for example, by Mr. Arashte. On the other hand, the main goal must be to not have any collisions, but your request is noted. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. So I think that brings us to the end of the action item summary, and we should move on to the timeline discussion. So while the document is coming up, there's been some discussion of this on the list, and I guess I see what we're looking at is there were 4 tabs in the Excel spreadsheet. So we're looking at the first tab of it right now being projected. This is from the kind of revised alternative set of timelines that were circulated during ICANN. I think in terms of the framing for this, again, I would like us to come back to the framing that Patrick used during the face-to-face meeting, which is that we really have sort of two sets of decisions. One is what will we do between now and when we receive the names proposal, and what we might do afterwards. And I think my sense from the face-to-face was that people felt very strongly that we want to kind of proceed along with as many of the steps from our original timeline as we can while we await the names proposal, and perhaps also, make a more dedicated effort to monitor and issue spot within the CWG process for anything that might come up that, it has a relationship to the 2 proposals that we've already received. So all of the different variants of the timeline that were put forth have that aspect to them. And that's really kind of the first set of decisions that we have to make. And there's not too much difference between the various alternatives in terms of what we do between now and receiving the names proposal. I think in my last mail to the list about this, I had said that the main question, I think, that we don't necessarily have consensus on is whether we should, stick the IETF and RIR proposals together and do a public comment on that portion, and then certainly, do another set of public comment periods, one or more later when we have the names proposal. So from my perspective, that's kind of the main open question. We could talk about the very, you know, the narrow specifics of the timing, but if we're assuming that we have, you know, a few months before we receive the names proposal, then we have sufficient time to do that or not at our discretion. So perhaps we could talk about that first. You know, what do we want to get done between now and when we receive the names proposal? And then we can talk about what we might do afterward. That's what I would suggest. So let's take the first part first, if we can. I see Cavus in the queue.
Yes, Alisa, I have no problem with the timeline that you have mentioned. But the consequence of this would be that the parameters the numbers, they have two commenting periods, whereas the overall, including the names, have one commenting period. In other words, the most straightforward, but not less important, most straightforward issues like parameters and numbers have two commenting periods for the public, and the combined all three, which is more complex, had only one. This is the deficiency that we need to provide. There are two ways to do that. Either for the third one, when the three proposals are put together, we would provide much longer time for the public comments, or we try to treat them equally, not to give two commenting periods to numbers and to parameters or protocols, and one for CC level, one for the names. Try to do something that both have two commenting periods as appropriate. So this is something that is missing, and I raised that in one or two of my mails to you. Could you kindly clarify that? Why names, which is more delicate, complex, have only one commenting period? And the second issue, the duration of commenting period. I understood you proposed something 2 weeks. Alisa, it is too short, in particular when you combine all three proposals together and putting them, and we need to have much longer time for the comments, but not 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. And I'm going to try to get the Secretary is going to project the optimized timeline, which is, I think, the one that you were primarily speaking to. So the idea with this optimized timeline, it does kind of back up still from the middle of September. So the idea was to try and see, could we take all the steps that we had said that we were going to carry out and make them all fit, given what we understand the approximate timing of the named community to be. So that was the reason why it wasn't. That was the reason why the first public comment period was moved back into this kind of April-May time frame, because if we wanted to have two public comment periods, we could do one on the proposals that we've received, and then we could do another one after we've received the names proposal. That was the same rationale for the public comment period being short. In the second instance, shorter than it is in the first instance, because it was trying to, you know, still have everything be completed by the middle of September. I agree with you that that neither of those are particularly ideal. And my personal view on the first issue is if people don't want to do a public comment period until after we've received all three proposals, I think that's fine. I don't think we need to do it on the two that we have. It was just a suggestion in terms of trying to optimize and still fit in all the steps as appropriately as we could. My only other thought that I will provide on the point of how long the comment periods are is that I think if can appropriately kind of message and announce and make sure that everyone knows when there will be a public comment period, even if it hasn't started yet because the proposal is not complete. And so you can sometimes balance a little bit having less time during the actual public comment period against the fact that people knew that it was coming and could prepare for it a little bit. I agree that it's not ideal, but it's just another aspect to keep in mind. So that was kind of the thinking behind all of that. I have James and then Milton.
Thanks, Alyssa. James speaking to the transcript, and just a couple of quick reactions. First off, I do agree with Kibbutz. 2 weeks is probably insufficient for a single comment period. ICANN typical comment periods are at least 40 days. There used to be reply periods. I think those have now been phased out and folded into the main comment period. But my question is, if we have an initial comment period upon receipt of the named proposal, and maybe you lost me here in this timeline because I just unsynced it so I could zoom in a little bit. So I apologize that I was reading while you were speaking. But if we have an initial comment period, what specifically are we putting out for comment? Is it the proposal that we received, or is it our first initial draft of the analysis of the proposal that we received? Because I can speak fairly confidently without looking at the timeline or the work plan for the CWG that the names proposal will also undergo one or two comment periods before it is submitted to the board, to the ICG. And so it seems like there may be some opportunities to save at least one comment period if we are not adding sufficient or material changes to the topic that's put up for comment.
Thanks, James. So I definitely agree with that. I mean, I think what we have said that we would do is when we receive the names proposal, we would do the individual assessment the same way that we just did for the IGF and the RRs. We would determine if there are, questions that the ICG needs clarification on from the names community. We would have, the back and forth. Like we've had with the other communities, to get those questions clarified. And once we felt that was done satisfactorily, then we would do, again, our own ICG analysis of the three proposals together for, this step two, the compatibility, workability, and accountability assessment, and see if we felt satisfied. And, again, go back to the communities if necessary. And then produce a draft proposal that, in theory would be in the form of something that we would eventually ship on to the ICANN board and NTIA and have that be the basis for the public comment period. So I certainly think it doesn't make any sense to just put something out for public comment that has already recently been out for public comment. And so I think we as the ICG would need to do our analysis, all the various steps, produce a draft proposal and have that be the basis for the public comment period. And so there's a question of whether once we do that, how long of public comment period we need, and do we need more than one? I think my feeling again is that perhaps we don't need to answer many of those questions right now. And the main questions that we need to answer are whether we're agreed in terms of just carrying forward as much of the work as we can on the proposals that we have until we receive the names proposal, and then we just pick up. And seek to determine the rest of our timeline from when we receive the names proposal. Hopefully that's my answer to your question, but there's other people in the queue who might want to answer as well.
Just one quick reaction. This is James speaking again. Thank you, Alyssa. Just one thought is that when that names proposal is open for its final public comment, perhaps that might be an opportunity to save some cycles here by if we spot any material, we're going to have early visibility to that and possibly be further along with the other two proposals. So maybe that's an opportunity for us to ask those questions or point out those omissions while their comment period is still open before it comes to us. And I don't know if that's too presumptive on our part, but it seems like it might get us, a couple months further down the road. And I'll stop talking now. Thanks.
Thanks, James. Milton.
Well, hello. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
I'm afraid I have to oppose the idea of a separate comment period for the RIR and IETF proposals. It's not because, you know, I don't think I would like to get as much done as we can. It's just that I don't think we get anything done by having a comment period on two proposals that are well known and have been pretty much vetted and approved by us. Let's not forget that the ICG is responsible for submitting a proposal to the NTIA, a single proposal. And what we want to put before the public is that final proposal, nothing else. And I think it confuses things, and it sort of strays from our actual role to be putting a partial transition proposal in front of the public. It's not that I think, of course, most of the public comments are going to be about the names situation. But in some sense, one of the potential arguments in favor of having a separate comment period is that people actually might pay attention to the names and the numbers and the protocol proposals. But I think the people who would pay attention to them separately are already paying attention to them, have already pretty much commented on them. We pretty much know what those communities think about these proposals. The level of public interest and participation in those less controversial proposals is minimal. So I just don't see the point. I mean, what do we actually advance? What do we actually accomplish by putting the, you know, those two proposals up for public comment on their own?
Thank you, Milton. Daniel?
Yeah, this is Daniel. Just to repeat my my argument that we should do as much work as we can on the responses that we've had. I'm ambivalent towards a comment period or not. But what I'd like to say for the record is that if we then decide that we won't make a combined names and numbers proposal, which was this step 2.3, I think. It's 3.1. Yeah. And if we don't put it out for comment, yeah, then we put ourselves in a position that we cannot really delay these things anymore. Once we put ourselves in a position that if there are substantial public comments regarding the RIR and IETF proposals, that we've missed the opportunity to deal with them while we had ample time. Yeah. And again, the main thing is that we signal to those two communities that we're progressing their response as far as we possibly can. So, but what I don't want is that in the end, that when we have all three proposals, that the whole thing gets delayed in a way that we could have prevented.
Thank you, Daniel. Joe.
Hi, Joe Alida for the record. Perhaps I can, I think Milton's point is valid, but perhaps we can, as a group, help to informally bridge that gap. So within ICC basis, we had some conversations related to the proposals before we had our meeting, and we have requested a further review of the proposals. And we will also be keeping folks apprised of questions and answers. And so with the breadth of the groups within the ICG, we can form a kind of an informal version of that consultation without having it as a formalized consultation, because I agree with Milton, the optics of sending out what looks like two-thirds of a proposal may create misperceptions among some people.
thank you, Joe. I think that's a really good kind of compromise suggestion. Caboose.
Yes, first of all, I fully agree with Milton that we have to have one single proposal to the NTIA, and that single proposal should work together. It is like a car. You could not test two parts of the car, saying that the car is ready when the third part comes, and then we do that again, and we see some difficulty here. The approach by Joe seems to do something. We have something called provisional commentary or comments and so on and so forth, but we will leave it until all three are together. I put in the chat form that this timeline mentioned here, it is impossible mission to achieve. We have to have a note and from the CWG coming, that saying that when their proposal is available and put, inject that in some footnote or somewhere, and indicating that our timeline should be adjusted to that accordingly, because we just bound and responsible to give one single proposal. I don't think that we discourage the two other communities if we would not put them to the comment. But we could put them to the provisional commentary period for something to be done, but this is not definitive. So we have to be very, very careful and not take one of the main part of a proposal out of the context here and just go ahead with two and saying that we're encouraging those who have given. Those who have given, thanks to them. Those who have not given, also we appreciate the complexity of the work that they are doing, and we have to wait until they come. So in my view, our timeline must reflect that this is to the extent we can do it for numbers and for parameters, but not for the naming and timeline, need to be further adjusted. That should be clearly mentioned somewhere in the note or in the explanatory note to this timeline. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree. And then for the minutes, this is Jari Arko. So I agree with the suggestion made by Joe, I think, that you know, some informal communication is necessary. That's really important and in both directions, from the rest of us to names and vice versa. But I did want to go back to the sort of the fundamental thing here. No one is proposing that we ship two proposals to NTIA. This is about progressing our work as part of the overall thing, which has multiple steps, and we need to do a full analysis of everything. And just to bring back something that we did in the ICG, we looked at the two proposals that we had. We did not have three, we had only two. But we looked at them, and we identified something that we actually wanted to ask the communities about. And that particular issue was resolved or is being resolved. So that's just a practical thing that has happened. You can do things with components. You can look at the compatibility of components. You can evaluate them. You can get comments on them. And I don't think the ICG is necessarily the final word. I think it is incumbent on us to do as much as we can, including asking public comments about things. And it doesn't mean that we claim that this is a partial solution or that we're going to take this forward. It means that we are progressing our work step by step, and I would at least feel funny if we have to stop everything because we don't have all the components. I think we can do some things, as history proves.
Thanks, Yori. Can I just ask, just for clarification, the proposal that Joe made, which is that we, sort of solicit public comment on what we have by doing that informally within all of our respective stakeholder communities and telling people that they should, send comments back through their representatives to the ICG if they have them. Does that satisfy you, or you would rather have a formal public comment process? Because I just felt like I was hearing a lot of support for what Joe said, and I want to understand if you agree or disagree with that.
I I'm not sure it really matters what the public versus or formal versus informal bit says. What to my mind matters is that we broadly communicate, and you know, this is what we have, and people look at stuff and provide feedback. Is that formal? Is that informal? I don't know, but my point was that we should solicit the, you know, relatively broad input at this stage, even if we don't have everything yet. You know, we're just making one step. I guess that the answer is yes, I'd be okay.
Okay, thank you for clarifying. I have Milton and Caboose in the queue, and then I will try to wrap up and we can move on to this. We can have a conclusion and move on to the next agenda item. Milton.
Yeah, so I just wanted to make it clear that I would support Joe's proposal as a compromise, and also wanted to say something I forgot the first time, which is that I strongly agree with James that 2 weeks is going to get all kinds of complaints about that from various people in the ICANN community of being too short. There's a lot of people who regularly follow regulatory proceedings, lawyers and so on, and they will always complain that 2 weeks is too short a time to develop their comments. I guess the third thing I want to do here is address the elephant in the room, which is that we see this timeline sort of getting scrunched up around this miraculous September 30th date, and I think we're still kind of trying to pretend as if we can hit this original goal when, you know, we just have no idea whether we're going to be able to do that or not. And I don't think we need to twist ourselves into weird shapes in order to try to pretend like we can meet this goal. We still, of course, don't even know whether the CWG will deliver us something by the middle of June, much less whether, it will be an acceptable proposal. And so why don't we just all relax about the fact that September 30th is kind of an unlikely achievement, that the NTIA will probably have to extend the contract for at least 6 months, and we can just do things right based on that assumption.
Thanks, Milton. Caboose.
Yes, the alternative proposed by Joe is good, but they have to find a good term to call that. Perhaps one could say incremental provisional commentary process, putting this in a way that we expect another one to put it a total. In this way, it would be incremental and provisional commentary process. And if we do that above incremental and provisional, we add an asterisk, and underneath of us is saying that waiting for the proposal from the naming community to go to the full commentary process. So we have to find a good term for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Provost. So that's a good segue, because I think we should talk about, you know, how are we going to express the result of this discussion to the public. Yari, did you have something on this? I had to close the queue, but I see that your hand is up again.
Sorry, it was not meant to be.
Oh, okay, thank you. So I think we have actually fairly decent agreement on what to do here, and the question is really just kind of what format to put it in. It sounds like, and actually it's quite close to what Manal had suggested a day or two ago on the mailing list, which is that we can make a statement of what what we intend to do in light of, you know, sort of changed timing on the name side. And we can say that we will progress with the proposals that the two proposals we've received as far as we can, and we're already doing that right now. That, you know, when they're in a state where we think they are, you know, stable and we've completed our assessment, we will ask informally through our own stakeholder groups for comments if people have them, and they can feed them back through us while we await the names proposal. We will, you know, monitor and pay close attention to what's going on in the names process and try to flag any areas of overlap or issues where we think, you know, having some work done within the names community ahead of time will expedite things later. And we can refine the remainder of our timeline when we have a better sense of when we will be receiving the names proposal and what it might look like. So I feel like we have in this group a fairly good consensus around those points, it sounds like to me. And I think what we could do is essentially, you know, write that as a little update to our last published timeline and put that out as, you know, another updated version of the timeline. I think the timeline is already on version 6 or 7 or something, so we could go to the next version and publish that information to the community that way. That would be my suggestion for how to go forward. Any quick comments on that proposal, and I can work with the co-chairs and perhaps with Manal, who made the suggestion originally, to get some text together that people could review for that little update to the timeline. And so we wouldn't publish any of these other you know, fancy pictures or different kinds of things. We would just publish some text that explains what we're doing and leave it at that for now. Silence must mean agreement, right? Okay, well, hearing no straight objections to that, I think we should take that forward. The Secretariat can give me an action item, and I will coordinate with a few other people to get that text written and send it out to the list for people to review. And we will, I'm sure, come back to the timeline discussion in a few months. All right. So moving on to agenda item number 4, which is the discussion of the responses to the question that we posed to the IETF and the RIRs. So hopefully people have seen these responses on the mailing list. We received them both late last week, and they're coming up right now. I think we can have Yari and Alan speak to them directly. And I think the overarching kind of message is that the communities didn't really perceive incompatibility between the two proposals, and then they offered some additional detail about what they would be willing to do or accept. The IETF Trust has said that it would be willing to accept the transfer of the intellectual property, and the members community provided some further refinement as well. So Yari or Alan, if you want to speak to the responses, feel free. And if not, that's fine too. People have read them. And I would be interested if anyone thinks we need further discussion or if they feel satisfied by the answers. Any thoughts or comments on this topic?
Yeah, this is Yari Arco. I think your summary, Alyssa, was already good, so I don't particularly feel like I need to add anything.
Okay, and Alan says he doesn't have anything to add. So is there anyone who thinks we are not done with this or don't feel satisfied with the answers or anything else to discuss? Cavus.
Yes, I have no problem with the reply provided by Yari, but
my concern is that if the community raised these questions, what we would have in during the commentary period? Should we need to add something when we send the comment, the proposal for comment, saying that we have identified this and we have discussed that and we have found that there is no incompatibilities? Try to bridge some of those questions for the public when they come, similar to what we had in our RCG. Should we do something in this regard or not? Thank you.
That's a good question. I have a few more people in the queue, so let's see if they have responses or other comments. Daniel.
Yeah, I have a question for the ICG. Would we want to encourage the communities from which we already have responses to amend their responses to clarify issues like this, so that when I think the answers are clear, I think a few textual changes to one or both of the responses would make that very clear, and then we have it in the source documents, and we don't need to point to a whole chain of documents and responses and so on. So my question is, would we want to encourage the communities to submit amended responses to us while we're dealing with this?
Thank you. Very good question. Let's see if other people have thoughts. Russ Mundy.
Thank you, Lisa. My comment is slightly different. I think Daniel raises a really excellent point. And the comment that I have is somewhat related in that, unfortunately, I've not had time to go back and look carefully at the numbers proposal, but it seems that this is something that should be detailed in the implementation aspects, and I don't know if the testing aspects make sense of it to deal with this, but it sounds to me that if what's proposed by the numbers community is sufficiently defined as an implementation step, my recollection is it does not, then we're okay. But other members of the group I'd like to hear from with respect to the implementation parts of this aspect, because it sounds like the IANA plan would be, the group was fine if it happens, but we don't have a sufficient description about how it will happen.
Thank you, Russ. Yari.
Yes, Yari Arco speaking. I wanted to respond to Daniel's point or question, and wanted to clarify that the IETF IANA plan did not want to change their proposal. Our proposal is still what it is. The consensus is still where it is. We were just responding to the question of whether we could do additional things if the whole needed that. That is the other communities, and the response was yes. So I'm not sure updating the proposal per se is appropriate in this particular instance, at least on our side. But I'm starting to see that there are, multiple things that have to be explained to people. Like, I mean, the components is one thing, the whole is different. Maybe that's an ICG document, maybe that's something else, frequently asked questions list, or I don't know, but proposal update at this point doesn't seem right.
Thanks, Yari. Caboose?
Yes, I follow the lines of Yari that it would, or not would, may cause some difficulty if they amended the proposals and send the amendment to us. They could send the comments, and it's up to ICG to look at the matter and, according to the charter, take that into account. It would be extremely time-consuming if we have to deal with several amended proposals and compare to them. We have had that one during our first round of ICG, when with respect to the consensus building, we had to deal with many, many proposals, and that would be difficult to do that. While the Daniel proposal seems one way, but implementation of that would be difficult, perhaps at this stage we should not take that path. Thank you.
Thank you. Paul?
Yeah, I had the same question for some CRISP members about whether there was an intention to update the proposal with to reflect the answers to questions that have been asked, and it's not really clear. There's some reluctance because of the difficulty of creating the document in the first place, the fact that the wordsmithing in a large group is never easy. So I'm not sure that that some members at least see it as feasible to release an updated proposal, but I do agree that with answers to questions being given in different forms in different forums as well, we need to find a way to consolidate all of the latest information about each of the proposals, so that there's, you know, more or less one place where anyone who's interested in the latest current status can go to find that. So I think it's an issue. I'm not sure what the answer is, and I think I'll ask the CRISP team. I'll take this opportunity to ask the CRISP team to give some more thought on that question.
Thank you, Paul. I have Alan. Alan, yeah, there you go. Unmute.
Okay, thank you. I figured out how to unmute. Right, so speaking as a member of the CRISP team, I would say that updating the proposal would be difficult. We'd have to go through lengthy community discussions, and I don't think we need to do that. However, providing a document with answers to questions is a lot easier, and I'm sure that could be done. We've already provided answers to some questions, and yes, that can be put in a document. But the reason I raised my hand earlier was to say something different, which is I think that coordination resolving issues between different proposals is an ICG task. So looking at the question about the IETF trust and the IANA IPR that was asked to the numbers and the protocol parameters communities, it turned out that we didn't have to update the proposal for that. And I think when the ICG prepares a combined proposal, that combined proposal should speak about the way this issue was resolved. But I think there's no need for the two input proposals to be changed to deal with. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. So I think what I'm hearing is that we should consolidate this information that we have already started accruing and will certainly continue to accrue as part of the assessment process and the back and forth with the communities in an ICG document of some sort, an ICG report. That, you know, once we have a consolidated proposal can be, published to the community together with the proposal, so that people know we'll have one place to look for answers to these questions, and we'll understand the assessment process that we went through. So I heard a bunch of people say, makes roughly similar suggestions. It sounds like there's support for that. If anyone thinks that's a bad idea, shout right now. But if not, I think we can plan to do that and maybe after the call figure out a stucky for getting that going. I don't hear any cries and screams, so let's plan to do that, and if the secretariat can write down an action item that we intend to do that, and need to find someone who will hold the pen on that for now. Although I don't think it's particularly urgent, so we can take our time to determine how to do that. All right, looks like support for that in the chat too, so that's good. I think we can move on to agenda item number 5, which is the step 2 assessment process. All right. So do we each have scroll control? I think maybe we do. Okay. So for the ITF and RIR proposals, since we have completed essentially the step 1 and we're into step 2, and we've started to have some discussion on the mailing list about these items, and people have shared their thoughts. And if anyone who has shared their thoughts on the list wants to give a brief summary or recap on the call, that might be helpful because there have been some good comments on these items. But essentially what we said we would do in the step 2 part of the assessment was to look at the compatibility between the proposals that we've received, the overall accountability mechanisms, and the workability of the proposals that were made. So this is the assessment that we should be doing right now. I will also note that Wolf Ulrich has brought up this question about implementation and the plans for implementation. And so that's something we didn't talk too much about during the step 1 process individually for the proposals, but we can certainly talk about it now. We still have the two in front of us. So now is the time to talk about these things, and if you have opinions about how the proposals look together when you join them with respect to these various aspects, then please put yourself in the queue. Caboose.
Yes, my comment on the step 2 in relation with IETF is in the area of accountability, it is a very complex description. Many, many entities they have mentioned. Some of them they are clear, IID, and this, but there are many others referring to various RFCs, and it is really difficult to know who makes the accountability with respect to whom. It would be very helpful if IETF kindly provide us a diagram indicating the flow of the accountability between various issues, starting from IAB up to the end, because in the proposal that I read several times, there is a back and forth, and we don't know who is who and what is the role of each. And perhaps we need to have an indication of the accountability that is currently done, and the IETF mentioned that they don't need any additional accountability. They clearly mentioned that. I come to that point in a minute. But first, the request for Yari, is it possible to have a diagram indicating the flow of the accountability within the IETF parameters and protocol or not? And that is the first question. Second question, IETF mentioned that there is no need or there has been no accountability or not accountability, oversighting by NTIA. Is it possible that we seek information from NTIA whether they also see like this? Because we can't comment on that. This is the statement and declaration of IETF. We don't know whether really the NTIA had some oversight or did not have some oversight, and we cannot judge that. These are the two first reaction on the step 2 IETF. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. Yari.
Yariak speaking. So we did provide recently this blog article that explains how we view oversight and ability to deal with various bad situations, and I guess we could make a graphic out of that, and graphics usually is a good idea. I think that's a good suggestion. We should definitely do that. I mean, not just for ourselves here in this group, but also more widely. And you can explain with a graphic. That's always good. The other question was about NTIA oversight. It's kind of like we're in the land of the imaginary in some sense. Like, you know, maybe there are some people who imagine that if we did not live in this world, but something in some slightly different world where something bad would have happened, then NTIA might have done something. But the fact of the matter is the NTIA has not done anything in terms of controlling the protocol parameter assignments in any fashion. It's all run by the community, and my view of the oversight or their stewardship has been that they've let the system grow and build up the IAB and other entities and all kinds of processes that we have, and now we have them and we are using them, and that is what is happening on a day-to-day basis. And I don't know if there's any other version of that could be provided. But that is certainly the reality that we see today.
Thank you, Yari. Narelle.
Sorry, just coming off mute. I'm not entirely clear here, Cavus. What type... Are you talking merely about getting a diagram to show the NTIA... accountability system, or are you talking about asking the IETF to draw a diagram that expresses its own internal accountability systems for all of the IANA interaction and other things, potentially even? Thank you.
Cavus, go ahead.
Yes, Mike. Suggestion did not involve NTIA. I was talking of internally IETF, IAB, and many other entities that refer to the 3 pages of explanations of Huxley about this oversighting. It is something internally that I have to see who really controls what and who is the one who have this oversight on the overall issues inside and IETF internally. I don't talk about IETF at that stage. Diagram relating to the currently process in IETF, including the overall oversight of IAB and many other communities, because sometimes they go back and forth between one community, one entity to other. We don't know whether one of them is responsible to the IAB or they are below that or above that. This is the chronological and the hierarchical arrangement, internal. I'm not dealing with any issue to involve at this stage NTIA in that diagram. Diagram is internally for the IETF, as Yari has clearly mentioned. Thank you.
Thank you. And it sounds like maybe Yari will think about doing that, although I would say that perhaps reading the blog post and also the other action item that he has outstanding, which is a response to a very similar question, might provide some further information there as well. So maybe we could, Yari has that action item first, and we can see how far that gets us. So I do want to come back to this combined assessment that we are supposed to be doing of the two proposals that we have. There were, a few responses on the list saying people are interested in, they want to do this, but we haven't really had a substantive discussion about it too much other than, a little bit on the call today. So I guess the question is, first, if people just feel like they've thought about this and they feel satisfied with the proposals and we can move on with the rest of our work, or if we need to do something like we did in step one, where we, you know, get a couple of volunteers who say, you know, I will sit down and think hard about this and write up my answers to, you know, the questions that we're looking at on the screen, and we have a further conversation about it. I'd like to get a sense from the group about whether people feel satisfied that we've assessed the proposals for these criteria that we're looking at on the screen, and we're done, or if they feel that there's more work to do, or if people intend to do this in the coming, you know, week or two or three, and bring their thoughts back to the group. I'd like to hear from people what they think the status is of this part of the assessment. Milton.
Yeah, I was a little bit confused for a moment. At first I thought we were reviewing this process document, but now it seems like you're asking us about whether we think the numbers and protocol proposals are complete or that we have dealt with them properly.
Reviewing the process document. These are just the questions we're supposed to be answering about the proposals that we have.
Okay, good. Okay, so in that case, my view is that we have successfully vetted, and we have gone through, let me see, we have gone through step two. Yes. We have successfully gone through step two for numbers and protocols. And I think the only thing we have agreed to do is to do this informal consultation, or what Mr. Caboose famously called the incremental provisional consultation process. So we still need to do that.
Okay. So, Milton, you are of the opinion that we have thought about compatibility, accountability, and workability for the two proposals together, and people feel, and you feel satisfied we are done with that. That's what I'm trying to ascertain. I just want to make sure that, okay, that is how you feel. Okay, that's good. I will perhaps formulate this in a very specific question to the mailing list, just to confirm that other people feel that way, because I haven't heard from too many folks about that. Lynn is also confirming. Thank you. But we can. That's great from my perspective, because that was a fairly simple process. So that's excellent. But I will, please, Secretary, give me an action item to send that question to the list, and I will do that just to confirm with folks who maybe couldn't make the call, and anyone else who wants to think about it a little bit longer. So my other question is, do we have Wolf Ulrich on the call, and does he want to talk about implementations? Yes. Go ahead, Wolf Ulrich.
Yes, thanks, Alicia. Wolf Ulrich speaking. I think I do not have to repeat what we already had talked about on the list. It's clear, you know, the question of implementation or implementability or whatever, let me say, with regard to the proposals, was brought up by Larry in Singapore, and that caused a discussion about what does it mean, and to what extent the implementation of the proposals should be ready by delivering the proposals. So this is where we stand, where we circulate around the discussion, and as I already mentioned, also the discussion is going on the CWG as well. It started around that, and questions were raised, what does it mean, to what extent, to what detail implementation has to be discussed and has to be documented in advance to providing the proposals. So I would like to raise this question as well, also under the under this point where we talk about the second step of assessment, and the question, does this fit all together, and to what extent all three proposals have to provide some input on implementation. I noted what Jari was saying on the list as well, that it may be not our task, the ICG's task, well, to set limits or to set a frame on that to the various communities, rather than to leave them, discuss them internally to what details they would like to come up with implementation. However, I also feel that there has to be some coordination on that, and there was also some points raised that it may be to a different extent maybe detail this question of implementation. So this is just, well, to start up with a discussion, and I think the ICG should do something, should come up with some kind of guideline, not in to specific points, but in order to frame the discussion about implementation. So far from my side first. Thank you.
Thank you. Kavus.
Adisa, I am not clearly following what implementation we are talking about. Are we talking about implementation referred to by NTIA, or we are talking about other implementation? But what implementation we are dealing with under the ICG? If it is
so,
I think
the aspect that Wolf Ulrich is focusing on is with respect to actually effectuating the proposal that gets written down by the various communities. So, for example, if you look at the CRISP proposal that we received from the numbering community, the proposal is that there will be, there are some existing mechanisms that will continue to exist, and then there are some new mechanisms, including an SLA, a review committee that provides advice to the NRO. And the question, I think there's a couple of questions. One is how much detail needs to be in the proposal that comes to the ICG and also that goes to NTIA about, exactly how those kinds of items get implemented. Obviously, the SLA that they envision is not written yet, so we don't actually know. The details of it are not in the proposal or included by reference. There's similar questions coming up in the CWG. If there's going to be a new contract, if there's going to be a new entity, how much detail does there need to be written in the proposal itself about those kinds of items? So that's one aspect. And then I do think he didn't really speak to it too much on the call, but did raise it on the list. There's a related question, which is how much of that needs to already be in place either before the proposal gets sent to NTIA or before the transition happens. And I have an opinion on that, which is that we're not in the business of deciding when the transition happens. We're in the business of deciding when the proposal is ready to go. So we should really focus there. But that's my understanding of what implementation we're talking about.
Excuse me. May I have a follow-up comment? The implementations of what CCWG dealing with and CWG contacts and so on and so forth, these are entirely different from implementation under Step 2. Under Step 2, I thought we are just focusing on the protocol parameters proposals. All of a sudden, we jump into the numbers. I have no problem if we decide to do that. But for the time being, let us concentrate on Step 2, on the protocol parameters. In that case, I don't think that they need anything explaining about the implementation, because they don't change anything at all. They continue to do what they are doing or they were doing since years. So for IETF or for the parameters and so on and so forth, we don't need to have further explanation about the implementation. When it comes to the numbers,
I think we will do that. But I think at this time it is better we concentrate on the step two relating to the parameters, protocol or protocol parameters, but not go to the numbers at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you. So I agree with you on the substance. I will say the step two assessment is an assessment of numbers and protocol parameters together. So we have the two, we look at them together, and we say, are they compatible? Do they provide accountability? Are they workable together? So we're not actually strictly focused on one or the other. We're meant to be looking at both. I have Milton, Daniel, and then Joe, and then I'm going to close the queue so that we can get to the last agenda item and wrap up. Milton, go ahead.
Yes, so I think Wolf Ulbrich is correct to raise this issue, but I hope that we can raise it and dispose of it. I don't think we can make implementation kind of a new criteria add to the NTIA's existing criteria. I think implementation is primarily a matter to be decided by the operational communities in terms of how and what optimal level of detail they specify. If a proposal is not actually implementable, then I would expect that to arise first in the community consensus process and secondly in the public comment period. Again, the ICG is in no position to specify a level of implementation detail, except insofar as it might be encompassed by what we call workability. And, of course, this is mostly a names issue and has, it in some ways, just fallout from the controversies over naming proposals, and I would be very wary of letting that fallout spill over into our work because I don't think it's appropriate. I think some of the talk about implementation levels is really kind of a way that certain people have of privileging some models over others rather than actually engaging on the substance of those models. So I think if we try to dip into that, we're going to be essentially very much risking becoming an arbiter of what proposals are acceptable.
Thank you, Milton. Daniel?
I'd like to do two things. First, I'd like to speak to Wolf Ulbrich's question and then to something that Cavus said. To Wolf Ulbrich's question, I think it was much more detailed in an email he sent less than 24 hours ago. And if I understood this correctly, we could expect some questions from the CWG on the level of detail that we think we require. And we can't put our heads under the rug and say we won't get those questions and we'll ignore them in order to be impartial towards the CWG discussions. I think we have to address those questions at face value. I'm not sure whether we can answer it. In the end, it's something that we have to construct a common proposal from their response. And the ultimate goal is that it's acceptable to NTIA in order for them to make the decision to withdraw. So I think we have to prepare ourselves for this question arriving, and we'll have to make up our mind on whether we want to answer it, whether we want to punt it to NTIA, or whether we want to give a very general answer saying give us all the detail that you can. The more detail you give us, the more we have to work with. But we cannot avoid the question, answering that question. So that's number one. And I think Wolf Ulrich made himself the advocate of this, and I think he should have get an intervention in this discussion. The second, speaking to Cavus, is Of course, we have to deal with the numbers proposal right here and now, because what we're doing is, as Alyssa has said, our next step is to at least make a combination of the two in preparation for making a combination of the three. And we cannot defer any issues or questions that we have with a numbers proposal. That would be totally unfair to the numbers community. So if you have any issues to raise them now, or and not delay the whole process by raising them in a month or two.
Thank you, Daniel. Joe, I will say we have, in theory, 4 minutes left. We have Cavus and Wolf Ulrich back in queue, and we have one more agenda item. So if everyone could be very brief, we'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, Joe Alida for the record. I think I'm kind of in between Daniel and Milton in the sense that I think it's a question we have to ask for a completeness purpose of the proposal we are sending forward. For the two proposals we already have, the answer is they are not substantially changing their implementations, and their statement just needs to be something to that effect, with a pointer to the fact that they've had implementations over a period of time. Names may have to have something broader. That doesn't mean we're evaluating the substance. It's up to the community to determine the substance. But I think it doesn't fit neatly within workability. And I think implementation is an issue that has come up that we have to deal with. And the question is, from a completeness sake, we have to have that information in the proposal. And then it's up to NTIA to determine if the implementation is sufficient.
Thanks, Joe. Cavus.
Yes, Alyssa. At this stage, we should not talk about any questions raised by CWG, because we don't know what is the question. We shouldn't be worried about that. Our task is to have the two proposals that we have. I have no problem with their compatibility, whether they are compatible or not. You could say that they are not incompatible. That's all. And if we have to finish this at this meeting, or we have a next meeting again going through these two proposals for the step two, I don't think that we should rush. We should leave the time. Maybe we have some other questions about the step two of the proposal together. I don't think that we should do it at this meeting. So I exclude anything relating to the questions raised by CWG and anything similar to that, but just concentrate on the two proposals. I have no problem. Treat them two together, but not finish everything at this meeting. We have to have time. Still, we could come back to see whether we have some difficulty. But from the answer we have received, they are not incompatible. Thank you.
Thank you. Wolf Ulrich, and then we will wrap this up.
Thanks, Alyssa. Well, thank you. Well, Daniel put it in a right way, understand correctly. So, and it's not about to create new work, and it's just, well, we have two things. The one thing is we are dealing right now with the question of step two, but on the other hand, we have to set an equal framework for all the other for all proposals. And the question of implementation was raised with regards to specific examples. For example, if some new entities are going to be created by any kind of proposal, let me say the review committee or any other customer committees or what else, it's not just about the question that this is a kind of new entity as an idea, but the question of how that is set out, how that is going to be dealt with in the future. Maybe a charter draft should be developed for such a committee. These questions are the ones who are the concrete ones who may be open, and I would be prepared for those questions which may come from the NTIA. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. So I think this was a good start to this discussion. I think we should continue it on the list and maybe pick it up again on the next call, because there's still
you know, people are asking a lot of good questions, but we need to kind of sort out what our answers are collectively about the implementation aspect. So thank you for raising that, Wolf Ulrich. We'll turn over quickly to Patrick, who's going to talk about the ICC face-to-face meeting in Buenos Aires. We don't really have time to discuss it, but he'll just give people the current status. And then after that, I will wrap up. So, Patrick.
Yes, the status has unfortunately not changed much since the email that I sent on the list. We are still waiting for feedback at the moment from the local host to ensure that we have the room that we need on the Thursday and Friday before the meeting. I have received very strong comments that we cannot have the meeting before the ICANN meeting going later than lunch on Saturday, but the goal at the moment is still to end Friday evening. Thank you.
Thanks. And we'll look for an update from you when you have more information. So with that, I think we are about ready to close the call. I will just note for people that today is my last day of work before maternity leave. So I will be on leave starting tomorrow and will be away from ICG duties for sometime until April. So Patrick and Mohammed will have everything in hand, and I will certainly take care of the action items that I took today before going on leave. So just so people know that. And the Secretariat will, as usual, produce the set of action items and the minutes and the roll call and all of that, and it will be on the list for everyone. So with that, I think we can wrap up the call. Or people have hands up, but do people want to have further thoughts? Caboose and Paul, I see your hands up.
Yes, apart from Harmut, that it is much senior than me, as a seniority, on behalf of everybody, Alisa, we wish you a very, very successful and safe delivery.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Paul, did you have a comment?
Well, here to Kavush, but I wanted to just mention for information that APNIC's annual meeting is coming up starting next week, and on Monday afternoon we are holding an IANA transition information session. That will be focused on numbers mostly, of course, but it'll be webcast, so anyone who's interested, you can find about it on the website. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. All right, that's a wrap. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Best wishes, Alisa.